has been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Tuesday. It is Tuesday already. It is the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager, Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management here in, we are based in Charleston, South Carolina, but a fee-based nationwide, a fee-based only firm that manages money for people all across America. Well, you know, I expected a little bit of a settling in the market today. There's a couple of reasons. We've had a good run. We've had several days in a row, several weeks in a row of breakouts and new highs, etc. And it wouldn't surprise me to see a little bit of settling. Second reason for that thought would be 2:30 p.m. Jerome Powell will be speaking, you know, from somewhere out there. And, you know, will he reiterate those two more hikes? Was he bluffing? We don't know. We'll find out what he says today. But I think the market's going to play it pretty cool until then. The Dow is down 233 right now. It's at 34,065. The Dow broke out last week. The S&P 500 is down 22 points, 43.86. The NASDAQ is down 43 points. That's a third of a percent, 13,646. Crude oil down $1.77 to 70.01. The 10-year is pretty flat at 3.73, and Bitcoin is up 300 to 26,810. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson and chartered financial analyst CFA Barry Kite. We are back home after spending most of last week in Minneapolis meeting with some great folks there. And that was a heck of a lot of fun. And our next trip will be to the Michigan area, right around Detroit, the outskirts of Detroit there, where we are also heard by a lot of people. We have a lot of followers there, a lot of clients. And that will be our next trip, looking about mid-September for that. Okay, well.
Yeah, that's going to be fun.
So. Yeah, you know, our first foray into Michigan.
Here's besides the airport there, I haven't been there a handful of times
yeah,
over the years.
I
think
too.
That used to be a big hub for, was it Northwest?
Yeah,
years ago.
Northwest Airlines.
Yeah, so I've been through there a ton, gotten stuck there a ton, but haven't been outside the airport very much.
Yeah, nice place, though. Okay, now, here's where we finished last Friday. The Dow was down 109. We had a little settling in the markets. We had a Friday fade. That's kind of been usual recently, especially in front of a three-day weekend. So keep that in mind because we got another three-day weekend coming up a week from this week when we'll have the 4th of July. The NASDAQ was down 93 on Friday. But they were up for the week, so now you've got a five-week win streak. And, you know, looking at the technicals of the market, you have the NASDAQ continuing to add on to its gains, continues to break out, continues to hit new 52-week highs, not all-time highs. The NASDAQ's got to get above 16,000 for that to happen. AI kind of set this whole thing in motion, but the main driver behind the rally in 2023 has been the Fed cooling off and, in fact, not doing anything at the last meeting. And speaking of the Fed, Jerome Powell will be speaking today at 2:30 p.m. I'm not sure where he's at, where he's speaking, but we'll see if he kind of reiterates. The market seemed to think he was bluffing about two more rate hikes.
Congress, maybe.
Oh, testifying. That's right. He's testifying today.
I know he's doing. I think he's doing 2 days in a row. That's why I wasn't sure if today's maybe in front of the House today. It'd be in front of the Senate tomorrow. Who knows?
But yes, that's what it sounds like to me. So, anyways,
hopefully, we'll get a warmer reception than the TikTok CEO.
The market is going to cower until that point in time. If he says, yeah, I meant it. I meant what I said. Two more rate hikes. You could see a little bit of, you know, sell off in the market here today. But the market needs to cool off from time to time. It needs to consolidate from time to time. And we're seeing a little bit of that right now after a 5-week win streak in the markets. The inflation is not gone yet. It's not completely gone. To get to 2%, you know, it's going to take some time. We're at 5.3% now. Technology continues to be the leading sector, and that just makes sense. The sector that was hurt the most by rising interest rates is going to be helped the most by a cooling off by the Fed. And now they've reached, you know, what is being called a hawkish pause, okay? That's going to be the watchword going forward. Hawkish pause means the hawk flew down, you know, and decided to leave the prey alone this time, but it sits up there on the perch ready to pounce again if it needs to. And it will all, it'll be all about the CPI and the PPI and what happens to them, the labor markets, which remains very tight, and if they need to swoop down and do another 25-point basis hike in, what are we, in July, I guess they might do that. I think that the market, though, I think the market doesn't want any more rate hikes, and I don't think the market would react too well to any rate hikes going forward, and that's why you've seen the market pause. Don't you think that's what Powell wanted, Barry?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, it
don't
kinda
get too excited here, you know.
Yeah, he kind of got both. You know, kind of gets, you know, gets to have his cake and eat it too, right? It's like gets to pause on the you know, actual rate hike and gets to, you know, kind of be hawkish with speak and tone, and kind of serves you know, serves a similar purpose. But there's a lot of folks out there too who are, you know, worried about, you know, economically, right? Those all those rate hikes we have, and how those are going to be digested by the system over, you know, the next, say, 6 to 12 months.
So. Yeah, exactly. Well, okay, so we're hoping. I can't really predict. You know, I think it's, I don't think anybody can predict, but because I think it's going to be, you know, the inflation reports. We were right. We said they're going to stop in spring, which they did. The last rate hike was back in May,
right.
And they're done. And now the question remains, you know, what will they do between now and the next, you know, 12 months? It's going to all be data dependent. You've heard that before. It's going to depend on what inflation does.
And they've got about actually a month and a half between that, you know, June meeting.
Don't they skip July?
Well,
no.
It's, what they do is they just do it later. So it's
I see.
You know, I think we were June 13th was the start of the Fed meeting, you know, this past one, and then the next one's not till July 25th. So basically getting in, you know, almost 6 weeks of data before, you know, but before they actually meet again. So
yeah, so that's, you know, that's where we're at. The multiple on the market is kind of settled in at 18.5, which is the 5-year average. You know, got up to 23.5 about a year and a half ago. And that's why the Fed had to go into action. That was one of the reasons, because you had inflation in the market. Stocks were too expensive. So we've settled in at about 18.5 now. And on the earnings front, well, in 11 days, 10 days, we'll have another end of a quarter. This will be the second quarter of 2023.
Time's flying, isn't it?
Time is flying. The year will hit the halfway mark. The All-Star break is just around the corner, the Midsummer Classic. And, you know, I'm updating. We've set the bar of where it, you know, we expect this quarter to come in. Last quarter, the bar was set, and it came in much higher. It exceeded that initial expectation. And so far, I would just say, of the companies that have given a clue about this current quarter, I think every one of them has guided higher, including one today that we'll talk about. NVIDIA would be the biggest one that guided higher a few weeks ago that really set off a rally in that. And so now, you know, we worry about the multiple that comes from the Fed, and we worry about earnings that comes from the 500 companies of the S&P 500. Those are your two big factors that determine where the S&P 500 is headed next. The Fed says two more rate hikes. Market's not convinced. We'll see what Powell says today. I think he'll clarify things today. And if anything, I would expect a little bit of a hawkish tone from him maybe later today just to keep the markets in check. Anyways, now when we come back, we've got more out of Morgan Stanley, Mike Wilson, who is wrong more than any other analyst. Maybe we should listen to what he's saying now so we can do just the opposite. Oh, that's pretty mean. But it's true. I've watched this guy over the years. Let's see what he's got to say now that he's been wrong for the entire year. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now show. And welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, one of my mantras over the years has been choose your gurus wisely. And, you know, from a macro point of view, of course, there's always the really perma bears out there that are always bearish on the market. It seems like Mike Wilson from Morgan Stanley is pretty much in that camp. You know, I haven't seen anything positive come from him from a long time from a macro point of view. And, you know, I'm not ragging on him. I'm just saying, look, you either have a history of being right or you have a history of being wrong. Who do you want to follow? And when it comes to the micro point of view, you know, Kathy Woods is the queen there of being wrong. But, you know, hey, look, I listen to both sides. Morgan Stanley's Mike Wilson, it just was about a month ago, he says, I'm not buying this breakout in the S&P 500. I don't think it's gonna last. Well, it did. Wrong again. You know, I should keep a little track record, you know, and a check mark next to it.
And he was finally the most right last year because he's bearish. But
well, yeah, you know, a broken clock. Twice a day, a broken clock is right. Well, the NASDAQ has pushed higher, obviously, over the course of June, but he's hanging on to his more bearish viewpoint. He says that the market switched from fear to greed at an inopportune time. Well, it was probably inopportune because he had a different prediction for it, right? Anyways, we find it hard. Where have I heard this mantra before? We find it hard to get on board with the current excitement and narrative supporting this market. While breadth is stabilized, okay, I've talked about that. I've talked about the market spreading out into other areas besides just NVIDIA and Microsoft. It remains far from supportive of higher prices, the investment bank added. Wilson and his team. You know, maybe that's the problem. Kathy Wood has the team too, right? You can get just about a team to agree with anything it's in your mind. You know, maybe it's better off not having a team. Also saw potential downside in slowing inflation. We see risks that lower prices translate to following revenue growth over the next 4 months. Everything's going to hell, in other words. Okay, now, on a more positive note, 1995, let's go back. It was a very good year. Well, okay, artificial intelligence. Now, this is from Wedbush, Dan Ives, who's been known to be right quite a bit. Artificial intelligence has become the topic of the year in the capital markets. It really did, Barry. And, you know, the shoe dropped when Microsoft went live with ChatGPT. Then we started looking under the hood at what was driving ChatGPT. Okay. It's fully embedded into mainstream conversation seemingly every day. Well, yesterday, Barry, I read that this Noah Harari, who's the science guru to the World Economic Forum. He wants to rewrite the Bible using artificial intelligence. That would be interesting to see what the gobbledygook that it comes up with. But anyways, it's becoming clear that it is more akin to a moment for technology not seen since the mid-1990s. Now, that's when I started really getting into the market, and I got into this industry in 1998. This is when the Internet exploded in popularity and transformed the entire planet. Well, you know, here we are in 2023, you know, almost three decades after that, and we've got things showing up on our doorstep, you know, that we don't even have to leave home for. How has the Internet transformed our lives? We're having Zoom meetings now. We're not traveling. I mean, you could go on and on and on of the transformation that has transformed the entire planet. There's no question about it. Now, the massive 800 billion, somebody quantified it, AI opportunity is now on the doorstep for the tech sector for the next decade. And real monetization of AI is happening much sooner than expected with NVIDIA's recent guidance. And our channel checks giving further confidence in our AI bullish sector call that kicked off in January. Wedbush Securities analyst Dan Ives wrote in a recent investor note. Now, with me, you know, his words and his investor notes hold a lot more weight than do Mike Wilson's investor notes. I don't know why anybody would even invest. If I was a Morgan Stanley getting the client getting those notes every week from Chris or Mike Wilson, I'd say, why the heck am I even in the market at all? I'm going to get into a bond shelter
or a bond trader.
Yeah, a bond shelter, right. Ives added that tech stocks are likely to continue moving higher this year, perhaps to the tune of 10 to 12%. Well, okay. The Nasdaq's at 14,000. 10 to 12% would put it back near its highs of 16,000. And I said last week, from a logical point of view, if you're going to have record earnings next year for the S&P 500, and all signs point to that, for now, Mike Wilson, Morgan Stanley, you got to give that a lot of weight, okay? Wouldn't it just be logical that the markets would hit new highs with record earnings? Now, the only thing that would keep that from happening would be continued inflation and multiple compression,
exactly.
Keeping the multiple down. That's kind of what Jerome Powell's job is. You know this thing, it pops up and you hit it over the head with a hammer, then another one pops up. That's kind of Jerome Powell right now. The S&P pops up, he hits it on the head with a hammer, with a quarter point hike. Another one pops up and he hits it on the head with what do you call it when they just talk about it? Jawboning?
Jawboning.
Look yeah, out, it, kid. It, there's it, two more the, hikes coming. You better not. And then the NASDAQ pops up again. And then the S&P, and he's going around trying to, he's going to do it again today.
Whack-a-mole.
Whack-a-mole. That's Jerome Powell. Perhaps the two biggest beneficiaries of the AI craze are NVIDIA and Microsoft. Okay, yeah, well, however, there are a number of other companies that are likely to benefit from the continued AI craze. What? There's more companies than just Microsoft, which has ChatGPT, and it's up and running. I've used it quite a bit recently, asking it questions. You know, I was sitting downstairs on Sunday morning. I heard this big crash on our window. I said, what the heck was that? Our little cat, he's not even a year old, had jumped after a lizard from the third floor down to the first floor, and he was limping badly. It was obviously he hurt his leg or his paw or something. I went on ChatGPT. It told me what to do about it. We went to the vet yesterday, and the vet said almost the same exact thing that ChatGPT said. No. Maybe that's where he gets his answer, too. When you're not looking, he goes in the back room and asks ChatGPT. But anyways, when we come back, I'm going to mention just a few of the other players. And then our featured stock of the week last week, I titled it, The Next Nike? with a question mark. If you did not get the newsletter, we had another featured stock of the week, our best idea for the week. Go to GundersonCapital.com. We'll be right back. This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show. Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Another factor weighing on the markets today, there's weakness around the world in the markets today. As I look at VWO, which is the emerging markets, it's down 2.4% today. As I look at the Europe Index, VGK, that's a Vanguard ETF, I see a 3.3% drop. And as I type in AIA, which is Southeast Asia, it's down 2.8%. So the markets around the world are faring even worse than the U.S. today. Okay, so let's go back to this positive talk. Let's keep going with Dan Ives here. He says the other tech stalwarts, such as Amazon, Oracle, we saw a huge move in Oracle last week, Google, obviously, with their Bard, Meta's obviously at some point going to get in on the whole AI arms race, Ives calls it, MongoDB, MDB, write that one down, MDB, another player, Snowflake, S-N-O-W, Palantir, we know about, P-L-T-R, of course, the company that got the symbol AI is AI, Salesforce, C-R-M. Ives goes on to say that it's inevitable that there will be some bumps along the way for many of these companies. And the long-term impact of AI on humanity is still unknown. Well, there's always those that will take new technology and use it for bad, for evil. Whereas there's other, like, look, I mean, getting a diagnosis on your cat who just fell from two stories down and is limping, all right? However, Ives believes there's a long runway of growth ahead. Now, that sounds a lot more optimistic and encouraging to me and more of my view of the future for the market than Mike Wilson's view at Morgan Stanley. He says we haven't seen an opportunity like this since the mid-90s when the Internet came along. Okay, well, that's another opinion out there. That's Dan Ives from Wedbush. I would say that one of the better big drug pharma companies right now is Lilly. If you were to, obviously back in the COVID year, Moderna and Pfizer were king of the hill. But Lilly probably has the best pipeline of all the big drug companies out there. They're acquiring another one here called DICE Therapeutics. We've talked about DICE a little bit in the past, and we've also said that if you're one that likes to dabble in companies that might be taken over at some point in the future, there's probably more deals in the biotech sector than any other sector. And that keeps the biotech sector really propped up quite well. You know, you buy a biotech ETF, and, you know, every week there's a few, it seems like, of these M&A deals. And that helps that biotech sector. DICE Therapeutics getting bought out today. It's a 37% gainer. And Lilly is on the buying end. And Lilly is actually up. Strong move for Lilly. It's up 1.5%. Lily looks to me to be on the verge of a potential breakout here with their stock. I think it's the best large pharma dividend-paying company. It pays a dividend of 1%, headquartered in Indianapolis, the pride of Indianapolis. Bristol-Myers is suing the government over the new Medicare drug pricing program. I think they're the like third or fourth company that has joined in, saying it's unconstitutional. Echoing a lawsuit filed by Merck, Bristol has alleged that the drug negotiation program, which was established by the Inflation Reduction Act of 2022, violates the First and Fifth Amendments of the U.S. Constitution. Well, that one could end up in the Supreme Court. Merck, on the other hand, which I would not call one of the best pharmas out there, it's okay, announced Tuesday that its Phase 3 keynote trial for Keytruda, that's their blockbuster cancer drug, failed in their stomach cancer clinical trials. Palantir slips as Raymond James downgrades, citing strong run since May. Okay, now there's another sentiment that I think you got to keep in mind here. These stocks have come a long ways since May. And, you know, it would not surprise me at all. Even as I looked at the technical analysis over the weekend in the markets, I saw a lot of topping out, pause. Let's call them pause patterns, hawkish pauses, right? I don't think they're bearish pauses, Barry. I'm going to invent a new term, bullish pause.
Bullish okay. Pause, yeah.
There comes a time, you know, there's a lot of short-term people that are sitting on huge profits here in these stocks. And, you know, they got to do their thing and get rid of it. So what do you do if you're an investor and, you know, I mean, you're saving for retirement, you sit through the pauses, if they're bullish pauses. And if you're a short-term trader trading hot money, looking more to get in and out, you know, I mean, there's probably going to be, and, you know, it's probably an opportunity there to do a little bit of profit taking in the short-term trading. But now just think, go back to Ives' comments here that this is a new wave that could last for the next decade. That kind of puts things in perspective. So I guess you have to decide what kind of investor you are. Are you looking to really capitalize over the next decade, or are you just a hot trader moving in and out and more of the the gambling casino type mentality? Well, I just would say that you're probably going to see a little bit of a consolidation here in the markets. Now, the other side of that is that's a buying opportunity. Maybe not today. Maybe there's a little more settling to do, but I've always said, you know, so many people think of the market as all in or all out. You know, Barry, in our meetings in Minneapolis, we heard a lot of that sentiment. When should I get back in? Well, it depends on which stock you're talking about. The market as
and where you got out.
I mean, and where you got out, exactly. The market as a big whole is kind of a little bit unmanageable, but if you break it down into pieces, especially sectors, indexes, and right on down to individual stocks, there's a lot of stocks in our I have new money that's come into us recently. It's my job. I'm not going to put it into all 20 stocks that we currently own in a portfolio. One by one, I'm going to look for a company pulling back to its support level or whatever, you know.
Yeah, you're making that independent valuation and purchase decision, you know, again, not just like a mutual fund that already owns a position. So 2 months later, somebody decides to buy that mutual fund and all of a sudden, magically, you now own that position. But
yeah,
you're reviewing that position. Is it still a buy? Does it make sense? And you do work that accordingly.
Yeah, I mean, would I buy an AI, let's say BOTS, B-O-T-Z is one of the AI ETFs. Would I buy it today? Well, I suppose if I was building on a position and going to hold it for the next 10 years, But if I was fine-tuning and looking for an entry point, there may be some individual stocks within that ETF that look good right now. Maybe they got passed by. You know, it was a week and a half, 2 weeks ago that I said Oracle has been passed by. There's a good opportunity here. And, you know, I've named a lot of other stocks that have not maybe participated, and they really are going to be involved in this big AI movement. So it just depends on the stock. Okay, well, here's another company guiding higher for this quarter, U.S. Steel. Last week, I think it was Nucor, the steel stocks all guiding higher. And then we'll end with this. Boeing forecast demand for 42,595. I don't know who did that calculation, you know, right down to 42,595. You know how those engineers are. New commercial jets over the next 20 years. Okay, what's going to fuel those jets? It's not going to be wind and solar, unfortunately. And, you know, the UN over the weekend called oil and gas companies planet wreckers. They're planet wreckers. They're not home wreckers. They're planet wreckers for continuing production. Well, I guess the UN head would have us sit at home and not go anywhere and not trade across the oceans.
You got to keep the lights on somehow, right?
Or put in little nuclear reactors like they do for submarines. You know, they don't need, it's all they've got fuel in them for the next 3 years with their little nuclear reactors. We'll be right back.
You got to go where you want to go.
And welcome back here to the final segment of today's The Best Stocks Now show. Just a couple other news items here. Yeah, that I just wanted to mention this just caught my eye today. The Navy today is christening an attack sub, USS Iowa, at the General Dynamics shipyard up at Groton, Connecticut. That's where my father was trained to be a submariner back in the early 40s. But here's what caught my eye, Barry. The nuclear-powered cruise missile submarine will be tested at sea before putting into service. Its reactor and power unit were made at the Huntington Ingalls Industries, that's a publicly traded company, HII. The reactor was designed to last for the submarine's entire lifespan of more than 30 years without refueling. Okay? You've got a submarine that's going to go all over the world that never needs to refuel because it has a nuclear reactor in it. Well, why aren't we using that for, these big freighters and ships? I don't know. I mean, are we missing the boat here? Pardon the pun. I just thought I'd throw that out. Okay, the reason here you have oil prices under attack again, guess who's dumping oil on the market now? Iran exports hit five-year high. And, of course, Iran has all of these sanctions against them, but it's obvious they're able to get around the sanctions and sell their black crude, black sweet crude on the black market. Okay, now as we look at the market here today, the biggest winner is Dice Therapeutics. It's being bought out by Lilly. There's another biotech that I've been watching, Vera Therapeutics, V-E-R-A. It's up 21% today. It's a smaller one. It's on my A-plus momentum list. It's up 20% as they're getting good mid-stage results for IgA nephropathy. Well, which is a kidney disease. So Vera and Dice are your two biggest winners in the market today. Too late for Dice. You can take a look at Vera, V-E-R-A. Now, as we look at the Dow, there's only three stocks that are up. This market definitely has spread out, and it works both ways. On the up days, you're seeing more sectors join in the rally, and on the down days, you're seeing them also join in the sell-off and the consolidation and the profit-taking, which is what I would call today's action. Intel down 3.4% today. That thing's volatile. It moves about 3% a day. And, of course, you know, there's still that issue out there. Will it become an AI stock? They seem to have ambitious growth, you know. They're building in Germany. They're building in Israel. They're building somewhere else, too, a big plant for making semiconductors. Nike's down 3.3% today. As I said, Nike is, let's see, in the terms of billions of dollars, Nike has a market cap of $169 billion. The stock we featured in the newsletter on Friday has a market cap of just $13 billion. So it has a long ways to go, maybe, to catch up, but they have a new shoe out that's really captured the imagination of a lot of people out there.
And
you
see
didn't
him
get
everywhere.
The newsletter.
And I see him everywhere on feet.
I ordered mine last week.
Did you?
I'll let you know how they are. If you didn't get the newsletter last week, go to GundersonCapital.com. Okay, now, also on the downside today are the oil stocks. Chevron down 3%, Exxon down 2.5%. It seems like they just can't get out of their own way this year. Between Russia dumping energy out, oil out there to finance their campaign against Ukraine, their war against Ukraine, and Iran, you know, going around all the sanctions on them, selling their oil so they can build more drones and missiles and whatnot. That's holding up, keeping a lid on the oil. And what's going on in China? You know, China must be struggling because they did a interest rate cut stimulus, trying to get them going here. All right, now on the S&P 500, Generac up 6.7% today. I'm not sure why. BTU, which is a coal stock, is up 4% on the S&P 500. Lilly and Lennar, D.R. Horton. Okay, so that's another definite group this year that's doing well are the home builders. And you got two up today in the SPY, despite a down day in the market. On the downside, Enphase, Big Lots, Alcoa, not very good stocks to begin with. Enphase is, but it's an expensive solar stock. Then as we go to the S&P 500, or the NASDAQ rather, the NASDAQ, the winner is PayPal, up 1.8%. Tesla up 1.4%. Tesla's got a win streak like you can't believe here recently. Win is up 1.3%, and NVIDIA is up 0.5% on a down day in the market. And then the losers on the NASDAQ are JD.com down 7.2%, Intel, and Qualcomm. So it's a consolidation day. It's a profit-taking day. I would expect Jerome Powell to pretty much say the same thing he said on Wednesday. I don't think he's going to change his mantra too much. He's going to hang out there. He's going to hover over your head like a hawk, saying don't get too carried away now with wage increases and raising prices and stock market giddiness and this kind of thing. I think he'll be pretty hawkish in his testimony this afternoon at 2:30 p.m. In the meantime, this is going to create some buying opportunities here in the coming days, weeks ahead. There's always something going on in the market. It's a good time to get aligned with us. Talk to us. We've got a lot of new money coming in that we'll be putting to work here over the next couple of weeks and months. If you'd like to get an opinion, second opinion on your portfolio, maybe you're managing it yourself and it's too much for you, call us at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. And if you'd like to get our current macro outlook on the markets, how our portfolios are doing year to date, I sent out the full newsletter last week with all the portfolios to those that were giving us a two-week trial for the newsletter, along with our best idea list, GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.